It's an old story about a young rabbi who found himself in serious trouble with members of his congregation as it came into serious conflict. Apparently, during Friday night services, half the congregation would stand at a particular part of the proceeding and the other half would sit. Of course, each side thought that theirs was the correct way to worship. And so they'd shout back and forth at each other, each side telling the other to get it right, to do it together. Being relatively new at this ministry, the young rabbi decided to take a representative to each side of the dispute to visit the synagogue's founding rabbi, who lived nearby at a nursing home. They approached the rabbi, and a man from the standing up side proceeded to say, "Rabbi, isn't it true that our synagogue's tradition has always been that the people stand at this point in the service?" The ancient rabbi replied, "No, my child, that's not our tradition." "Ah," the representative from the sitting down group launched in, "then it's true our tradition has been for people to stay seated." "No, my child," the old rabbi replied, "that was not our tradition." "But rabbi," the young rabbi said, "what we have now is complete and total chaos. Half the people are standing, half the people are sitting, and they all scream at one another." "Ah," the old man said, "now that's our tradition." In this morning's gospel, Jesus is talking to his disciples about disputes and how to resolve them. It's a stark reminder that we cannot make our way through life without encountering conflict, without encountering it probably on a fairly regular basis. In particular, Jesus is speaking about a resolution of dispute for those who live in community. He's talking to his disciples about forgiveness, and he gives them some very explicit instructions about how to handle an argument. So explicit that it almost feels like we're reading a help or advice column like Ann Landers and the like. "If you have a problem with someone," Jesus says, "first take it up with that person privately. Try to iron it out. See what the problem is really about. And if that works, fine. Everything's good is forgotten. If it doesn't work, then try taking a couple people along with you when you talk about it with the person. Maybe they can hear what the two of you are saying to each other and help you figure it out. An impartial witness is always helpful in a conflict time. And if that doesn't work, then you take it up with the person in the context of a group. If it's a family member, take it up with the family. If it's a coworker, try a staff meeting. If it's governance or politics, try to gather the community together in a town hall. If it's a church member you're doing ministry with, then try to get the rest of the group that shares that ministry and talk it through. And finally, if all else fails, forget about it. All in all, as Ann Landers would say, just forget about it." That's what Jesus says, isn't it? "If all else fails, let that person be like a Gentile or a tax collector." Mimicking a multitude of self-help books that are out there on the market, forget about it. "It's not my problem. I'm well differentiated. I'm highly individuated. I'm a self-aware person of the 21st century. I know what my problem is and what my problem isn't. And if you can't see you're wrong, then get out of here." Right? That's the way the passage is usually interpreted, isn't it? But if you've ever heard me talk about this passage, you'd know that's not what I think's being said. Because there's something really important about this passage that we can't overlook. Plenty of spiritual commentators out there will tell you that Jesus is setting a limit on forgiveness, but I don't think so. And here's why. The passage comes to us from the Gospel according to Matthew. And in case you've forgotten, Matthew was a tax collector. The man who recorded those words of Jesus was a tax collector. Matthew knew exactly how Jesus treated Gentiles and tax collectors. And how did he treat them? It's easy. He didn't give up on them. Matthew knew that Jesus was the last person to give up on anyone. So when Jesus says, if all else fails, let that person to be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector, I'm willing to bet that he wasn't saying what many relational experts would say today. Jesus wasn't saying, if all else fails, forget about it. Jesus was saying, if all else fails, love them. And that's the way he lived. That's the way he loved. Jesus didn't spend his love lavishly on sinners, did he? Well, yeah. Didn't he eat and drink with outcasts? Didn't he eat with hookers? Didn't he eat with tax collectors? He even ate with scribes and Pharisees, for gosh sakes. And isn't his love, isn't his forgiveness, isn't his acceptance a sacramental reminder of the love that God holds for each and every one of us, even when we're most unlovable? I'm reminded of an old story about a man who was plagued by dandelions. He tried everything. He couldn't get rid of them. Nothing worked. At last, he wrote the Department of Agriculture at a prestigious college and asked for their advice. Their answer was 7 letters long. We suggest you learn to love them. God knows it's not always easy to love and accept those we're in conflict with, whether it's in family or at work or at school or in community or in our churches. Believe me, there have been plenty of times in my life when I would have liked to forget and ignore. But like it or not, these are the people I'm committed to love and work with. I don't always succeed in that, and I suspect that I'm not alone in that particular failure. But I suspect, as a community of the faithful, that's exactly the challenge that each and every one of us face. It is to be a community that exhibits such behavior that we're called to be in. And it's exactly the community and its common life that Oliver now comes to join us in through his baptism. The good news is that Jesus never asked us to be successful in this venture. Even in matters of faith, Jesus does not ask us to be successful. Jesus simply asks us to be faithful. And you know, even the better news than that is what we don't even need to be successful in being faithful. And God will love us anyway. Isn't that a kicker? Amen. Amen.